1 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. If you missed our conversation with Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL Insider, a little bit earlier in the show, we'll bring that back for you at 1:30. We obviously asked him about the DeAndre Hopkins trade, but also just where things are at in the AFC, in particular with Baltimore, how great Lamar is playing. But does he think that it still is the simple, hey, show it to me in January, prove it to me in January for Baltimore and for some of these other teams? That was part of our conversation with Ross Tucker. So that's coming up a little after 1:30 and what's trending. One more time, just a reminder, if you're heading out to Las Vegas, we're broadcasting live there starting tomorrow, Thursday and Friday from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, circalasvegas.com. Friday night, we got a party at the Overhang Bar there, drink specials, chance to win a pair of tickets to the game. Come watch the games over the weekend at Stadium Swim. It is the world's largest sports book. If you want an RSVP link to our party on Friday night, which gets you the free drink at minimum there, plus enter to win, just text us, 913-586-7965. Back to the trade stuff, and obviously DeAndre Hopkins becoming a Chief today. So he's the third wide receiver that's been traded already. And I know we were kind of excited when the trade deadline got pushed back a week. That was something they changed in the offseason.
Felt like it could open some things up.
I thought they should have pushed it back a few more weeks because more teams know for sure they're out, more willing to make a move. The salaries are prorated even more, of course, the further you get into a season. So I thought that was going to prompt there to be a real trade deadline. What's been weird to me is these trades are happening before what would have been the old trade deadline. Now, is it just injuries? Injuries is just causing all this? Maybe so. You mentioned earlier, it's not just wide receivers getting traded. There was the Titans just did another trade.
For a linebacker.
Yep, with Seattle. What do you make of this? Because I like them pushing it back. Are we going to see trades up against the deadline? Or are we just seeing everything happen earlier and this is an outlier season? Because the deadline getting moved back has nothing to do with the trades we're having now. It's happening. These trades are happening before the old deadline.
Yeah, I think that when we look at it, there's just no way to be like, well, it's because of this, right? That must be the reason why. Well, it can't be necessarily because we're still early enough in the process that it can't be it's the later trade deadline. I'm assuming it's injury-based, but I also think that there's probably more coming. Because at this point, at some point, these teams are going to have to start realizing that in order to keep their job, trading to try to stay alive doesn't do you any good. Like, technically, the Jets should trade. They're not going to.
They've done the opposite.
They're in a rare circumstance. They're actually making moves for players. They instead should take the players that they don't think will be good by the time they get there. I'm assuming that the earliness of the trades has to come from desperation, doesn't it? Davante Adams, Jets were desperate. This move for the Chiefs, they were desperate. DeAndre Hopkins, they needed another wide receiver. They were not going to have a choice in where they were. The Amari Cooper trade, that's not born in desperation. Bills could have waited a little bit, but I think that they were just looking around the building, you know, like, I don't know, maybe. And I might as well just speak to, there are like four or five teams this year that are awful. And know that they have to. I mean, they are terrible, and everybody knows it.
I think it's more the injuries than the last part, though. The teams being out of the mix, this happens every year. In end of October, we start to think, oh, this, like, realistically, there's a ton of teams that are truly out of the mix, whether they know it or not, or believe it or not, I should say. So I don't think it's that. I think it has to be the injuries. You desperation/injuries, as you said. Like, the unique circumstance with the Jets, the Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams connection prompted that to happen. The Chiefs need receiver help, but then the Juju Smith-Schuster injury, I think, is what really moved them across the finish line for D-Hop. Amari Cooper, I don't know on the timing of that. Were they worried the Chiefs were interested? Were they worried about another team? The Bucs having injuries on Monday night, did that prompt also the Chiefs to make a wide receiver move, worrying that the Bucs were also going to be interested? If the Lions trade for a pass rusher, that's because of an injury in Aiden Hutchinson. So I think we have just seen a rash of injuries prompting some of these moves. I'm just more curious when we get to the actual deadline. Is it just dead? Like, do we just don't have anything?
I don't think so. I think it'll be both. I think in years in which there are more teams vying for this thing, they do this. The other part is, like, it's franchise desperation, too. The Bills are a desperate franchise, man. So are the Jets. When's the last time the Jets last won a Super Bowl? It was like Joe Namath. Bills never. Chiefs are going for a three-peat. Look at the teams who are making the trades, man. There's a reason why, as a franchise, they feel the heat right now. Look, I don't believe the Bucks either. Their Todd Bowles came out today and said, we like the wide receivers we have in-house. We don't have to trade for another wide receiver in order to make it work. Now, at least they know they'll eventually get Mike Evans back, even if the reporting is suggesting it'll be after week 11. They know their guy's coming back. The Chiefs can't even be sure Hollywood Brown's coming back. The Bills wide receiver unit was the unit. They didn't have somebody else, some, you know, knight in shining armor coming to save the group. These teams know where they stand and the desperation in which it is. I think it'll probably be a normal trade deadline. Now, I'll say they had to move it back some. You can't add an additional week into the regular season and then force teams to make a decision in week like six of their NFL season. I'm with you. It's still way too early. Also, why do we have trade deadlines at all? No offense, but like, why isn't it up till the end of the regular season? Why shouldn't teams be able to make themselves better up till the bitter damn end? Like, what do we care in baseball that they wrap this thing up by the middle of July? Why can't people make a trade in September if they think their team still deserving to get better? If a team who thought they were in the playoffs now find themselves on the outside looking in? Why not let people make movement up until the end of these things? Now, some of it is because they want the trade deadline to force some earlier action. If you push the deadline back, you know this. Like, if you push the baseball trade deadline back to September 1st, well, nobody's making any move in July. They're going to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And the price tag of the player you pick up in September is less. But then we'd get more movement, more fun. Or would it push teams back to do it because they're like, well, we can't get DeAndre Hopkins up to speed. I like it. I like the more movement. I like the trade for the Chiefs.
Oh, it's great. All
the way back to the Hopkins thing. I mean, they had to. Gold on Monday. Was it Monday? Tuesday in the show? We had Nate on. I was like, I was kind of hoping to wake up this morning and see they made a trade. I was wondering what the hell was taking so long. And it was Tuesday. They got it done today. But it was like
late last night,
like
early
Tuesday.
In the
I was
morning.
Like, where is this thing? They got to make something happen.
I'm trying to picture, like, they said at 5 a.m. Was it one of those where they were talking late and then everybody go take a nap at 2 a.m. and wake back up at 5? Or were they on and off the phone the entire night to make this thing? Because all the reports are they 9 o'clock last night they were talking late, midnight, and then 5 a.m. or so is when this truly kind of came together. And then it really got finalized at noon today.
Is it different in sports? I'm asking, is it different in sports for an obvious reason? Is it different in sports because, like, the whole, man, you making text at 1 a.m., that ain't good decision making, you know? Like, you should not be texting. Gold, anybody you're texting at 1 a.m. to be like, can a deal be made here? That ain't the kind of text you need to be sending. That is dangerous territory. Are you, you know, like, should you sleep on it?
You're on a timeline. If you're the Chiefs, you got a game on Sunday. You're on a timeline. You know that if you wait till the next day to work on this trade, Hopkins doesn't get here until Thursday, then there's no way he's playing for you Sunday. They had to get this thing done last night to make sure D-Hop can get here this afternoon to give him a shot to play on Sunday.
I just wonder, 5 a.m., I don't know how early these coaches and whoever make it to the facility, but you're there late at night and then you're back at 5. And it gives me a... They were at the facility, slept at the facility.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time.
I think that was 100% what happened. It was a... overnight, I'm taking a nap, and then we're going to talk about this thing. We're going to discuss it through.
NFL coaches are the antithesis of work smarter, not harder. Hey, you could just work smarter.
This is one of those overnighters.
You know, no, but you don't have to.
That's not he's saying.
It's unnecessary. Yeah. Football coaches would make you believe that if you did not work 19 hours a day, this job would never get done. And you're like, it probably would. Like, how many of those hours did you like re-engineer, re-diagnose the same thing? You know, work smarter sometimes every once in a while, be it. But in this case, you're right. They had to make a trade and they had to make it late. D-Hop is the third guy traded. They were forced into this position where they had to make a decision on this, but they also had to make this kind of decision because of where they were and where this thing was going to land. They knew they were going to have to do it. The compensation made sense. Everything made sense. It just fit.
Yeah.
And then, like, going back to the Hollywood thing and what he had said there, we don't know if he's ever going to come back this year. If you missed it earlier, Andy Reid was asked about Hollywood Brown. He had said, well, he's on schedule or maybe even a little ahead of schedule from where he was. And, yeah, I think he'll have an impact. I'm more curious about whether or not Aminihu or Pacheco will have a massive impact, I'll be honest, than those two right now, aren't you? You think it's a Minihue? I think it's maybe probably a Minihue, but I'd listen to Pacheco. They need everything they can get, but they're a defensive team. We've said this. They don't need DeAndre Hopkins to win. They're winning games with nobody at wide receiver. They're winning games with Juju Smith-Schuster. They'll win games with DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I have no doubt. You know, the expectations for him are going to be probably overblown because, as Ross Tucker told us, and you'll hear our conversation in 15 minutes, you know, because of fantasy football and everything, you know, if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't get you 18 fantasy points on Sunday, you'll say he stinks. You know, that's just the world.
18 fantasy points? Damn.
But that's, you know, that's where we're at with this stuff. Whereas, like, in reality, they just need someone they can rely on in third downs and the occasional red zone target, whether it's in the end zone or at least to move the sticks to make it first and goal at the three or whatever, right? Contested catches. That's what they don't need him to go out there and look like DeAndre Hopkins from 2021. He's not going to, okay? But they don't need that. But for one game or occasionally or a big moment in the playoffs, that's what I'm thinking, Cody. It's a big game. It's the AFC title game against Baltimore, let's say. And it's a third down then, even though DeAndre Hopkins only has like 30 yards receiving to that point. But he comes up with the big 15-yard reception on a third and 14 with a buck 30 to go. And the Chiefs are driving to get in Butker field goal range to win it again. Like, I can very much see that. That's being something that happens, and D-Hop being that guy for them coming up with big time catches.
Does anyone else feel like this conversation sounds oddly similar to what we were talking about? They needed the Chiefs to have Juju Smith-Schuster do. And then he immediately went for like a million catches and 140
yards.
He's going
to run the same routes, Cody. D-Hop is going to run a lot of the same routes.
Are you sure that D-Hop might not finish with 18 fantasy points this weekend or next weekend? I think he's having a 100-yard game sometime in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, maybe so. I'm just saying, like, people unfairly now judge it. If you didn't get, I just threw out 18. If you didn't get 18 points from as a receiver, like, oh, you just suck. And it's just like, that's we live in the fantasy football world now where everybody just judges who's the best receiver in the league based on how many fantasy points they got you. Like, that's, and there's more to the story. Now, look, Justin Jefferson's, to me, is the best receiver in football. I'm guessing Ja'Marr Chase has more fantasy points than him. I actually think Justin Jefferson's the best receiver in football. But that's my point, is, like, there's just more conversation. We can agree to disagree on that. But just so much is now predicated on that. It's the box score thing we mentioned with Mahomes on Monday, that if you watch the game, you know that Patrick Mahomes came up with the winning plays when it mattered, even though statistically he had two picks and didn't even throw for 200 yards. Right?
They don't even really need DeAndre Hopkins to beat the Raiders. I mean,
well, no, I would like to see him have
left on that roster.
A package of plays though on Sunday in Vegas. That would be nice just to get him acclimated a little bit, you know, a set grouping of plays, whether it's early on in the game or not.
Can he have like the wristband like the quarterback, or is that limited to the quarterback? Can they not look at like a little cheat sheet of what the play means? I'm always curious when these players get traded and then they're forced into like figuring out exactly how the team operates. I'll just say, you had said coming into work you had a little extra pep in your step.
Yeah, we were going to Vegas and they just traded for DeAndre Hopkins.
So great morning for Alex Gold. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to be DeAndre Hopkins? You wake up, alarm clock goes off. You know you got to go into the facility for a little bit of treatment at 10 a.m. You take a look at your phone and your agent's like, yo, you're a Chief now. Instead, you're like, ah, thank God. Like, what took so long? He's had Will Levis been throwing him the ball. Mason Rudolph for part of that. I mean, we were joking about the memes from Will Levis this entire time. The difference in my attitude going to work that day, it was like when we switched to FM. You know what? I'm working harder now. More people listening. I'm doing this for you.
We had Will Bowling from our sister station, or at least a station. I think it is our sister station in Nashville. And he said basically what you're kind of joking about, but there was some truth to that. That DeAndre Hopkins was disconnected on the sideline from the other skill position players because he was so frustrated with the situation. Not that he's a bad teammate by any means. Nobody's saying that, even in Nashville. But that it got to a point where, like, eventually you reach a point that you want out, right? You're not happy with your situation. And so the knee injury wasn't really the issue as much as it was the quarterback, the offense, frustration, all of that. Now you come to Kansas City, you got the best play caller in football, you got the best quarterback still in football, and you got a chance to add to your career. And we can, I don't want to get into a Hall of Fame debate. I think when it's all said and done, D-Hop will be a Hall of Famer. I don't know about first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he will.
Think
but
so.
If he gets a ring, oh boy, there's your motivation. Like, I have no question that D-Hop's motivated. He gets a ring to his resume. His Hall of Fame case, of course, gets even stronger.
The only question I have about his motivation is DeAndre Hopkins, as you remember, around the time he was going to be a free agent, there was this whole story about, like, well, he wants to win. DeAndre Hopkins wants to win. And we sat here on this show and we're like, well, if you want to win, come here. And then he chose Tennessee. I'll be honest. That is not a move of I want to win. That is, I'll take the biggest check available to me at this moment, which he did.
And now he has both.
He took, but yeah.
He got paid and he's coming here.
But, you know, like, we always talk about this. People have a different desire to win, a different work ethic to win. The standing on the sideline stuff, if you want to spin it in the negative, if you're on the outside looking in, you could spin it into, does he really want to win? His ass chose Tennessee. He had other teams on the market, teams that are winners on the market, and he chose to go to a known loser, a team that did not have a chance. And we all, I know you can talk yourself into whatever the hell you want when the check's big and be like, no, they're going to figure it out. I'm sure that was not the way that team looked like on paper.
But I've told you this, though, with a lot of these free agent conversations with wide receivers. We talk about, you know, hometown discounts, they're taking less to win and all that. I think that applies on the margins. Like, you know,
yeah,
that's,
like, you got to be close, you know, to the number.
Oh, they're offering me an extra $1 million. Well, okay, I'll go ahead and go to the winner. But if they're offering me
an
2 years guaranteed, you know, yeah, and it's $10 million more dollars, well, I don't expect anybody to, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm leaving you if they're offering me 10 yeah, times the number for many years. That's how everyone operates.
Of course. It's the reality of the world we live in.
I'm with you. The Titans offer was, and you remember the time we said this, that number was so big. Like, whoo, have fun with that number, I guess, Tennessee. Kansas City, he was paid $8.3 million this year. He's already played 6 games for them. The prorated amount essentially puts Kansas City on the hook for $3 million this year. A little over $3 million. What they're paying? Great.
Yeah, the Chiefs will have about $1 million, as you said, left in cap space. Now, because they're redoing the deal on spot track, like next year, there is no next year anymore, as far, yeah, as far as I know. Initially, there was still money, but this is it. If you go to spot track right now, I mean, this is it. $5.6 million, the updated cap hit number for Kansas City, but it's actually a little bit less than that. But this is just based off of what SpotTrack has updated in their system. There's 2024 accrued dead cap was 12, and then 2025 5.8. Unless SpotTrack has this mislabeled, I read that as this is it. At one point, I thought he had money on the books in 2025, but maybe that changed.
Those dummy years probably just remain with Tennessee at this point. Kansas City was never going to trade for and has not signed really anybody to those false years down the road where essentially you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. They've continued to not do that kind of across the board, so I don't think that'd be the case. I'm not worried about it. What's your official guess stat prediction line for DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday?
I'll be honest. Ask me on Friday.
Friday?
Ask me on Friday because, honestly, much like Andy Reid, at this point in time, we don't know if he's playing, right, on Sunday.
I know nothing.
So I can't give you an answer until Friday on that. I need to know if he's playing Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing on Sunday, isn't he?
I need to know for sure.
You're just playing the Andy Reid card? You're not going to give... This is an opinion-based sports talk
show.
I know
nothing.
And now you're saying I know nothing? Andy can get away with that.
You're asking me today what his stat line's going to be.
I didn't say you're forced to
accept
that number.
I'll give you the stat line on Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Or tomorrow.
There's no over-under.
I'm asking him for an over-under.
I don't know if he's playing. Is he going to play in 11 games or 10? There's a difference. Hold on. Statistically.
I'll give you an over-runner. 45 yards. 45 and
no,
a half.
No. He's not in for the season.
Oh.
That's no, why. I meant for this year. For the game.
Oh.
The game.
45 I can get, and a half.
Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me to give you a season total. That's
no,
what,
I don't have a season total. You can wait on that one.
I can give you Sunday, sure. Yeah, 51 yards and no touchdowns.
Are you going over 45 and a half?
I thought you were
going
to say touchdown there for a minute.
Are you going over 45 and a half, Cody? I mean, I guess yes.
Who else is he throwing to? Well, yeah, I'm going over.
65, over under.
I mean, I told you 51.
Well, I'm saying for Cody.
65 is a pretty... I mean, they don't even give that total to, like, I know, number saying, one wide receivers in this league.
If you think he gets 8 targets...
I think he's getting 6 to 8 targets, yes.
Yeah, I thought you meant season numbers. That's why I'm like, no, I'm not giving you a season number. Friday, I'll give you a season number or whatever. That's fine. But
yeah, we can do
today,
that tomorrow or Friday.
I think an anytime touchdown is absolutely in the cards. Maybe even first. I think they get down to the red zone. They say, you know what? We brought this guy in to throw him the football, and we're gonna try to get him the ball in the red zone. First play, back shoulder, touchdown, Chiefs.
Oh, I have no doubt one of the first five plays of the game is going to DeAndre Hopkins. No doubt in my mind. Look at the Jets game on Sunday night, Drew. You watched it. Like Devontae, yes. He dropped the wide open pass, but the first play, they had a play design, easy, simple throw. Rodgers out to Devontae Adams, and Adams just flat out dropped it.
Kareem Hunt's going to have a run from the 22 to the 13-yard line, and it's going to be a fade route to DeAndre Hopkins. The very next play will be a fade route to DeAndre Hopkins for a touchdown.
I don't know about fade. I just don't
throw a lot of fades. I also hate a fade route.
Yeah, I don't love a fade, but he's getting touches on the first drive.
13 will be tough yard, but if they have the ball at the 5, it's a back shoulder. If I was Andy, I would say back shoulder throw.
We'll see.
Go win your matchup, DeAndre.
I was pretty worried it was just going to be MVS. Here's
the
funny,
you want to know the funniest? Can I tell you the funniest scenario on Sunday? So they trade for DeAndre Hopkins. We're fired up. We're ready. Taking on the crappy Raiders. Justin Ross is elevated from the practice squad.
And he gets a touchdown.
Justin Ross
finally has a good game.
Justin Ross has a touchdown Sunday. Mark it. Book it. Justin Ross gets a touchdown on Sunday.
I don't even think by Friday he'll be able to bet that.
He will get a touchdown on Sunday just because the world is weird. And it won't be Hopkins. It'll be Justin Ross.
Him or Jody Fortson, I guess.
I think Ross would be the text line, man.
I think he might get elevated for the game on Sunday.
I just saw like a suggested follow just real quick before, because I know we need to get to break. 913-586-7965. When the Kansas City Chiefs sign a new player, you go follow him on social media? I don't. They gotta be around here a while.
No, I do.
Diop's not getting the follow for 10 games.
Like, for example, Roland Wallace.
Not getting the follow because I got to unfollow later, you know?
Roland Wallace had the pick. I didn't know who he was.
You would have found Roland Wallace.
Of course. Yeah.
Nice. Interesting.
No, absolutely.
He didn't catch
I already follow Hopkins. I mean, he's one of those players in the league. Yeah. I've already been following. He's just one of the players in the league. Just like I was following Juju before he came here. There's certain players. Like, I follow Malik Nabers. I follow Justin. There's certain players on Instagram that are just big enough names.
I'm not a player follower guy.
I don't follow many.
I don't even follow Jamar Chase, believe it or not.
That's stunning. By the way, it's not like you're messaging with them. You're following their feed. It sound like it's like, oh my, I don't.
I think you slid into Wallace's DMs. Yeah, what are you doing this weekend, man? Want to hang out?
Follow and you see their feed. That's how I was able to bring you the big news that DeAndre Hopkins 4 days ago basically told us he was coming to Kansas City.
Gold's going to hang out with Chris Jones over the offseason. You know, he's setting up some plans.
I bet he's a good time.
I'm sure.
I bet so.
I'm sure. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then you'll hear our conversation with Ross Tucker. We asked him, of course, about DeAndre Hopkins and the move to Kansas City, plus the rest of the AFC and where the Ravens fit.
What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the news today, the news of the day. DeAndre Hopkins, now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs trading for the veteran wideout from Tennessee. Tennessee gets a 2025 fifth-round pick. Could become a fourth-round pick, but it's all good, honestly, if that happens, because that only happens if the Chiefs make the Super Bowl. And DeAndre Hopkins plays 60% of the snaps. Both things that I think the Chiefs will gladly have happen. The Titans also paying a little less than half of Hopkins' remaining $8 million salary.
He started at $8 million, probably a little over $3 million, but still, obviously, the Chiefs in desperate need of a wide receiver. Good deal overall. Obviously, both teams are probably happy with the result. Next up on Watch Training, Jameis Winston officially scheduled to start on Sunday for the Browns. That's after Deshaun Watson was lost for the season. But in the bigger news probably from that, that's not surprising. Ken Dorsey will be taking over the play calling for the Browns. Kevin Stefanski announced earlier in his press conference. Kevin Stefanski's done a nice job at that offense, typically speaking, when it's not Deshaun Watson. He's going to hand over play calling duties to Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, Jameis now starting. And Ken Dorsey, your guy, man. Flip that laptop and paper in the air, baby, when things aren't going right in that press box or in that coach's box.
It's like the only job, like we try to pretend like not just more testosterone, they're allowed to act like infants on the playing field. No, everybody has a job. You can act like an adult at your job.
Yeah, but you would agree the locker room, this isn't the locker room, but the same comparison though, like you would agree that the locker room is a different workplace and what can be said there than if you're working a 9-to-5 job at State Farm. I mean, there's reality of like we can act like everything's like black and white, clear as day, like, but it's not. Like, the locker room and the culture in that locker room is different than if I'm working in an insurance office.
It just is. Particularly big hissy
fit. I'm just saying. We know it's just, hell, our workplace, I can promise you, some of the stuff that people joke about and say in the bullpen area would not fly in other offices. It just, everybody has that.
Some of it shouldn't fly here.
Well, okay, fine. But I don't want to make it sound like we're saying terrible things. Now you're making it sound like there's, like, really bad things being said. Jeez, I'm talking about you F-bombs flying all over the place from you before
the
show.
You can't say that, Safe Farm?
A lot of places you wouldn't be able to just openly cuss across the office. No.
Tough.
Anyway, next up on What's Trending, NBA got going last night. We saw the debut of LeBron James with his son. Bronny James made some history. Took the court 4 minutes left in the second quarter. First father-son duo to play in a regular season NBA game. 110-103 win, by the way, for the Lakers over the Timberwolves. It was a cool moment, but, like,
a little forced. Yeah. Doesn't feel as cool as the ones who, like, earned it.
More than a little forced. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah. That was forced.
This is not King Griffey Jr. and King Griffey Sr. Those are both Major League Baseball players.
It was cool that both King Griffey Sr. and Jr. were courtside. That part made it kind of cool.
TNT after the game on the box score. They had everybody sell, and then they put Bronny's down there and said, play 3 minutes. They didn't have to do that to Bronny. They didn't have to do that.
They gave him their moment. LeBron James has certainly earned the clout to try to convince the Lakers to do this, but it was forced.
Of course.
If he were any other player, he wouldn't have earned the spot on the bench for that game, but still cool to see a father and son. I actually just like it for, like, the parenthood stuff. Him sitting on the bench and said, you ready? Don't let the nerves. That stuff, that's cooler than the rest of it. Next up on What's Trending, Jaden Daniels officially not practicing today for the Washington Commanders. Still suffering from that rib injury. There's still a possibility he could play on Sunday. I feel like it's more likely he's going to return next week. Obviously, it's not a serious injury, but the rookie of the year favorite not really up there yet today for practice. I'm guessing that opens up the door for Caleb Williams, who's been playing a lot better here lately as well.
It definitely could. That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, we're heading out to Las Vegas here right after the show today. And if you're going to be out there, we hope to see you guys. It's going to be a great time getting set for Chiefs and Raiders, which the game suddenly has a little more intrigue. I mean, look, the Chiefs are like 10-point favorites. They're going
to
be fine.
I just wanted to bury him for all the offseason.
More intrigue with now DeAndre Hopkins perhaps making his Chiefs debut. Tomorrow, I'm sure we'll talk about some of the training camp comments, the whole Kermit the Frog thing, an idiot that decided to do that in training camp. That wasn't smart. On the Raiders side, plus the Christmas Day game. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But if you're going to be in Vegas any day, really, the rest of the week, come on out to Circa Las Vegas. We'll be poolside Thursday and Friday, broadcasting live. We'll also be hosting a happy hour event Friday night at Circa at the Overhang Bar. And if you want our RSVP link, just shoot us a DM on Twitter or a message on Twitter. Also, text line 913-586-7965. We'll get you an RSVP link, which gets you a chance to win tickets. And by the way, the tickets to the game on Sunday are not cheap. I was looking them up, man. Cheapest just to get in the building, like crappiest seat in the house at Allegiant, $385 before fees. Last check. So, why not?
Circa hasn't told where the seats are, but I bet they're nice.
I think you'll be all right. All right, earlier today, we had Ross Tucker join us, our Odyssey NFL insider, and we, of course, started the conversation asking him what he makes of the Chiefs adding DeAndre Hopkins to the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say I'm not overly surprised. You know, the Chiefs have a truly unique opportunity this year to do something, obviously, that no one's ever done. I think, you know, they were probably already going this route, but then the Juju Smith-Schuster hamstring injury, I don't even know how bad it is, but I think they just thought, we really got to get somebody else in here. And I love the fit, by the way, for two reasons. One is, you know, for Hopkins, he has made so much money. I mean, he's made so much money that this is sort of the icing on his career, the cherry on top, whatever you want to call it. Like, he has a chance, and he knows it, to really stamp his legacy even more. I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame player, but I think he probably thinks he's in the mix or close with the numbers he's put up. So this certainly would help that quite a bit, I'm sure, in his mind. And then, you know, and to go from Mason Rudolph and Will Levis to Mahomes, I mean, come on. The thing I like about, though, is Hopkins is one of those guys, he's always open, even when he's not open, because of his catch radius. I was, like, amazed when I met him, and he's, like, 6'1.5". If you ever watch a game where he plays, you feel like he's 6'4", 6'5". Like, he's just he's that long and he's that good in contested catch situations. Really curious to see how quickly Mahomes feels comfortable to just throw him the ball when he's in any situation, especially near the sideline, especially back shoulder throws, because he's just so, I mean, he's one of the best we've ever seen in terms of boundary receivers and contested catch guys. And so I think that's the thing I'll be watching the most, is how quickly, you know, Patrick sort of feels comfortable firing those throws to him when he doesn't have a ton of separation.
Maybe not for this Sunday and the short timeline to get ready, although it sounds like they're going to try to have him at least maybe play somewhat on Sunday. But long term now with this trade, what do you think is realistic to expect for him? We know this is not DeAndre Hopkins from 2020 when he was 28 years old. He's also dealing with a little bit of a knee injury. So what do you think is realistic to expect from him?
I don't think, just the way the Chiefs are constructed, I don't think he's going to put up huge numbers. Huge fantasy numbers for people that are into those things. I think he's just going to allow them to get a few more explosive plays and to be able to convert some third downs that they were struggling to convert at times. You know, I think when you have a guy like this, and it's funny because the Buffalo Bills were kind of going through the same thing. You need a guy on the outside that can consistently win against man coverage. And that's Hopkins. And the Bills didn't really have that guy, which is why they got Cooper. DeAndre Hopkins can still do that. But he's also just, he's got a little bit of Kelsey in his game, and that he's super savvy against zone as well. I just think it's a really, really good fit. We'll see. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time for guys like that to be able to click together since they haven't worked together. But that's why doing it now, I think, is a good move, because obviously they're going to be in the playoffs. They get a lot of time to really kind of get in sync before January.
Sometimes we make it like just a physical game, which certainly football is, but there's a mentality part to it too. Ross, you've been a midseason acquisition. You've seen players acquired or traded midseason. How much extra juice does it add to, like, DeAndre Hopkins just be like, thank God it's not Will Levis? Like, getting on that plane, I would think, would motivate you in a way that you have not been all season.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was different. I was just happy that somebody signed me, still wanted me, or traded for me, or whatever the case would have been. I will say this, just side note. First time I got cut, I got picked up the next day on waivers by the Cowboys in October, like right around now. And I went to the Cowboys, and I was amazed with state income tax how much more my check was in Dallas than it was in Washington. I was like, man, this getting fired thing is pretty good. Like, this is a pretty good deal. Not that I would recommend it, but he's actually doing the opposite, right? You guys have state income tax.
So we do.
You guys go from Nashville, where they don't have it, to you guys where they do.
That's right. And a 1% earnings tax, too, on top of it. Yeah.
Well, listen, like I said earlier, he's made so much money. There's no question he's fired up. It's by far the best chance he's had in his career to win a Super Bowl, to even play in one. You know what I mean? Like, and I know he wants to win it, but to my knowledge, I have to look it up again. Has he ever even been in an AFC championship game? You know, like, to be able to be in a situation like this where he has a chance to really do some cool things that he's never experienced before. You know, I mean, he's had some good moments in Arizona and some good moments in Houston, but not like this. Not like where he has a chance to play in a conference championship game, to play in a Super Bowl, to experience those things. I mean, I never got to do either one of those things, and it's disappointing, you know, because I want to be able to talk about it when it's that time of year, and I wanted to be able to experience that, and I never got a chance to, and now he's obviously got a golden opportunity to experience it.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Doesn't this also, the fact this trade happens, prove that a lot of the discussion that nobody will trade with the Chiefs, or you're going to have to pay a super premium to make it happen? They're like, that's just not true. Like, the Chiefs have been able to pull off these trades.
I have no idea why anybody ever said that or would think that. That makes no sense. Every general manager should solely do what's best for them. You know, what's best for their team. And what we're seeing here is that you have to assume that the fifth that could be a fourth was the best option that Rand Carthon could get. And it's why he did it. You know, I'm sure he'll say something about wanting to do right by DeAndre and Steve Sirkinoff. Like, I'm sure he'll say that, but I don't know that I believe that. And I don't even know that I think that's the right thing to do. I think the right thing to do is whatever's best for the Titans.
How long do you think the Chiefs will stand defeated, Ross? I'm curious because you look at the rest of the AFC, same four teams, no mystery. I mean, it's the Ravens, it's the Chiefs, it's the Bills. How long do you think they'll maintain undefeated before you think they have a chance to lose? The Bills?
What is that?
That's 3 weeks. So they would take on, this week they would take on the Raiders in Vegas. Then Monday Night Football against the Bucks. That game looks dramatically different. And then they have the Panthers. So you can just go ahead and write that one in.
And then the Bills.
Yep.
Yeah, I think if they beat the Bills, then we can start to have that conversation. And I think there's another conversation to be had there, which is, do you even want to do it? Because, you know, they're gonna. If that's the case, they get to 14-0. They'll probably have clinched home field advantage at that point.
Right.
So do they want to play those three more games? Is it worth the injury risk? I mean, they're already going for the three Super Bowl history. I don't know if they need to have the history of undefeated as well. I mean, that would be a heck of a that would be a heck of an accomplishment. The same year to be the first team to ever go undefeated and get your third Super Bowl. Then nobody could ever say anything to any Chief, anybody from Kansas City, anybody that's ever even been to the state of Missouri ever again for the rest of their lives.
It would be the end of the GOAT conversation somehow. Like, I feel like it would surpass Tom Brady. And by the way, I got it mixed up. They'll actually take on Denver before taking on Buffalo. Then they have the Panthers after Buffalo.
So what if they beat Buffalo, what would their record be?
The record then would be 10-0, and then their remaining schedule, and I'm not kidding, would be Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, and the Raiders and Chargers would be at home. Cleveland, a tough game against Houston, at Pittsburgh, and at Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll lose to either the Bills, Texans, or Steelers, but they're going to have a really good record this year. That's for sure. I mean, it's remarkable. Although, I don't know, last year they didn't have a record and they still won it, but you certainly would want to have the walk, you know, you'd want to have the home field advantage and the bye. It would certainly make it a lot easier. And maybe because of that, maybe that would give Andy more reason to play the guys in the regular season, knowing that they're going to get the bye anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's the point that I brought up yesterday when we were discussing how they would handle the last week of the season if they were in that spot. Like, you're not going to give them 2 weeks off. Then you get worried about the whole rust conversation. I don't know if you believe in that or not as a former player, if you think that's something that actually would be a concern at that point. Let me ask you real quick about the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, I mean, Lamar Jackson is playing better than anybody in football at that position. But we've seen this before, right? Like, isn't it understandable to be skeptical about what this actually means for the Ravens' chances to win a Super Bowl? Because ultimately, it's going to be, how does he perform in January?
Yeah, and that's the same conversation I had yesterday with the Odyssey station in Buffalo about Josh Allen. The Bills and the Ravens are eerily similar to me. They're both really good. They've both been really good. They both have MVP caliber quarterbacks who are top five in the world and give them a chance to win every game. But they got to do it now in January. I mean, Burrow's done it once, at least beating Mahomes and getting to the Super Bowl. Now it's time for either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen to do it. And I think that they can, but to be honest with you, their best chance to do it was last year.
Right.
When the Chiefs weren't as good and the Chiefs had to go to Buffalo and to Baltimore. I mean, that was their best chance last year. Maybe it'll happen this year, but it's not like they're going to be in a better situation this year than they were last year.
Yeah, likely they'll be facing the games on the road. It's just like, it's the same teams just kind of in repeat. Is there a team you think could sneak back up? Are you a believer in like Cincinnati's chances to come back? I just don't think they're a very good football team, but is there someone in the AFC you think re-enters this conversation?
Cincinnati and Houston, I'll give them each a chance. Cincinnati's defense, so their offense, Burrow and the receivers have been amazing pretty much the whole time. It's just their defense was terrible the first month, but they've been much better the last two games. So that gives them a chance. And we know they've had some success against the Chiefs. And then I think the Texans, they just have enough firepower that they could do it. Their O-line is not pass protecting very well. That's their biggest issue. But any of those teams have a chance against the Chiefs in a one-game scenario. And, you know, it's just crazy. If you go through and you look at all of the Chiefs' playoff games the last 4 years, how many, you know, one play here goes different, one play there, situations there are, and yet the Chiefs came out on top in all of them, except for the Bengals one, you know, like the Bengals overtime one. And so everybody kind of has a batting average in those games. You know, you're not going to win them all. It's just the Mahomes batting average in the January and, you know, December and February football games, it's just incredibly high to think, because it's not like they've been blowing people out. You know, it's like these have been one-score close games. It's, I would say they're tempting fate a little bit, and that it's unlikely that they can continue to win way more than their fair share of these one-score, could go either way based on one-play games. It's remarkable what they've done.
Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Good to chat with you again, man. Enjoy the week, and we'll check in next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.
That was Ross Tucker again joining the guys. And if you're going out to Vegas, be sure to see the guys out at Circa Swim. If you're living under a rock, DeAndre Hopkins is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is on his way here. Alex and Cody and the guy, we were looking at flight tracking data for DeAndre Hopkins. But he's on his way en route to Kansas City. Might be able to play this Sunday. We'll have to see. If you have time tonight as well, Mac and I are going to be on After Hours. We're going to be chopping it up, talking about DeAndre Hopkins, biggest threats in the AFC post DeAndre Hopkins trade for the Chiefs, as well as a whole lot more. We're going to have some fun, as we always do, on After Hours. This has been Cody and Gold. We're going to be back tomorrow. We'll see if we can have the guys on stream. If not, the figurines are there. We're going to be present. They'll be out there in Vegas having a good time. Again, if you're going out there, see them at Circa. Hit up Alex or Cody on Twitter if you want a link to see if you can enter in to win, and you get that one drink for free as well. That's going to do it. DeAndre Hopkins, a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Chiefs can get fired up about this. They got a go-to guy now. I think he should be the red zone target. First touchdown, bet it now. DeAndre Hopkins getting a tud this weekend in Vegas. Carrington, Rob, The Drive, coming up next, right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports.